at 807 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Glad to have y'all along. Sean Sullivan, Kelly Finley, Dalton Orwig on assignment. We'll be back with us tomorrow. A heads up. Last week, if you heard me like on Friday tell you about the great deals going on at the Causeway location of the original Oyster House Monday through Friday, and you said, darn it, I just barely missed it. All right. Fresh week to get started with. You have from now through Thursday, from 5 to 7 each afternoon / evening, to check out $6.99 appetizers and $1 off drafts. This is the Causeway location of the original Oyster House only. Plus, they get the live tunes going on as well. But yeah, you heard it right. $6.99 apps, $1 off drafts. Maybe you do that for your after-work meeting, or maybe that's a start to dinner on one of these nights, Monday through Thursday. Either way, check out more details on their website, originaloysterhouse.com. Great deals going on at both locations, but $6.99 apps, $1 off draft at the Causeway location. 808 and our phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. How was your weekend?
Excellent.
Well, I put you on the wrong mic. There we go. There we go.
It's Monday, right?
Yeah, that's right.
New week, new month. Very exciting weekend. Yeah.
Exciting. The peak of the weekend for excitement.
Let's see. Friday night, we, there's only two parents and we have three children. So we have
You got to run a zone defense.
You got it. Yeah, so, and then we have I have a bonus child. So there's another parent involved. Mm-hmm. But I took our daughter to USA for the volleyball game.
Yeah.
Great game. These women were handling business.
Yeah.
I mean, it went down to the very last second. We did not come out on the winning end. But I tell you what, their professionalism, their level of class, and their talent, unbelievable. And it's a free game.
Yeah.
I was blown away by that. So we watched. So that was the two Finley/Jones ladies were there.
Right.
And then my husband and oldest, they went to the Sarah Lynn LaFleur game because my husband's a Rattler.
Yeah. Yep.
And my son's the new Spartan. So the discussion was interesting. The trash talk.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're going to see who gets this one, but we know what the final score was.
Well, I mean, just saying, though, I mean, Sarah Lynn, you're talking about, building a real story in football there.
That's right. And not just what I love about that school, because I do, for a living, I research. And so the reason why that was the choice was not just what they do from an athletic standpoint, but what they do from an educational standpoint. So just a very full weekend we did that. We had a parade. We were in a parade in Mount Vernon.
There you go.
Yes.
What's up, Mount Vernon?
Yes. Yes, we have a lot of friends who listen.
I love some Mount Vernon.
The Moas.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then you know that home that's been restored on Government Street? It's the Kennedy home. It's across from Lanyap. It's across.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. So we were able to tour that, and it's going to be open by the end of October.
Good deal.
Beautiful. More than 10,000 square feet.
So do you get any like pictures you can share, or
they're online?
Okay, we'll check them out because they haven't been embargoed. You know, we get those things like
yes,
in media. They'll like they'll tell you something and they're like, this is embargoed until such and such day. Not embargoed.
But I think that the best part of our weekend, Sean, you can appreciate this as a parent. We were at Walmart for more than 2 hours looking for school project supplies.
Come on. I mean, the poster board
It was deeper than that. It was so much deeper than that. It was a styrofoam, a certain size styrofoam with the styrofoam cutter, and then the paint could not be acrylic. It had to be watercolor. But because three projects are being worked on, we had to get so much. And then we had to find spray paint.
Yeah, it's always a mess. By the way, Ed, and I'm gonna say this. Now, mind you, I'm married to a retired Mobile County public school teacher.
Yes.
So I'm coming. Don't say you don't have any idea. I do. I do have ideas, right? I do have ideas. Y'all are torturing us, teachers, sometimes with the projects you send home for the kids.
And the final product is
even if you not just the kids do it, we don't. Right. But it ends up being like a styrofoam and glue and glitter explosion somewhere in the kitchen. I'm like, what happened
exactly?
Here?
And then where do you eat dinner?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The kitchen table is out for quite a while when that happens.
So yeah, just a typical Finley weekend.
All right. Yeah. You know, so nice, low pace, right?
Yeah. Right. How about you?
Other than we had Cub Scout camp out.
I saw the pictures.
And just like I said, last week I said, Dr. Bill, this is not looking good because we were not on the battleship on this one. We were in the big field there next to the battleship, and of course it rained, and that's a flat piece of land down pretty close to sea level. Mm-hmm. On the causeway. Mm-hmm. And the water was standing there and everything was wet. And so I did, here was the thing. So So there's a bunch of standing water in the field. This is not like anti-Battleship Memorial Park. I love it. It just rained for the last 6 days before then. And people are slogging out there, and they're looking for areas, put tents where there's a little bit of a ridge. And when I say ridge, I'm talking about 6 inches higher than the rest of it, right?
Okay.
But enough that maybe it's up out of the water, the standing water, to put our tents in. So we find those places. Guess who else had taken refuge on those hills?
Who?
The ants.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so the ants were waiting
for
us.
The red ants?
There was a mixture, yes. of regular, just, you know, domestic, supposed to be their red ants and fire ants.
So they were angry.
They were not pleased. Uh-huh. And then we put our tents on top of them, you know, and then they were less pleased. But other than that, it was actually, that was just kind of a small part of it. I thought that would have shut the party down, but the kids were having such fun with the Cub Scouts. Mm-hmm. That was big time. So it was cool being out of the battleship and seeing all those folks.
It was like you had them as part of a MEU, you know, a Marine Expeditionary Unit, on top of training to be in the Coast Guard.
Right.
Because you've got water.
Right, we did. It was Marines, yeah. We did the amphibious assault from the flooded grass there at the big field by the battleship. We're kind of across from Calamity Jane over there.
You know you're going to get an award for this.
And then we stormed the small bound
where we put
the tents down, and that's where we found our resistance, the local resistance in the form of fire ants. But we battled our way through, ended up having a good time. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, a couple things from the weekend. Love to hear from you as well at 343-0106. Stories today, statewide, state of Alabama getting $2 million from a nationwide settlement involving Uber. Yep. A note here from Attorney General Steve Marshall's office says the money is the state's portion of the $148 million agreement with the ride-sharing company. Y'all put on your thinking caps, because I need some help here. Yep. All 50 states in the District of Columbia are part of the settlement, which stems from a data breach about personal information of Uber drivers in 2016. Not passengers, drivers. The company failed to report what happened for a year. A statement from Marshall's office says Alabama didn't have a law requiring notification of data breaches at the time, which, by the way, we talked about that in the wake of the Equifax. Remember, it took the actual Equifax breach for them to pass something. It's still not exactly, you know, a steel curtain. But they didn't have a law requiring notification of data breaches at that time, but the law has since been passed to address such situations. And the settlement came under the state's Deceptive Trade Practices Act. Statement says hackers gained access to personal information about some 600,000 Uber drivers nationwide 2 years ago. Okay. So it's the drivers in the state that had their information breached.
Yeah.
But the state of Alabama gets $2 million. Right. I mean, is there some insight here I'm missing?
When you dispatch your Uber, they have to have your information to get to you. And your information is saved, so.
Yeah, and your information was breached, so why don't you get the money?
Maybe that's the rest of the story.
Yeah, just wondering here. Maybe we could talk about that when we get back. Plus, a new deal, don't call it NAFTA. We'll tell you about it when we get back. Right, 821 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Glad to have you along, Sean and Kelly. Dalton will be back with us tomorrow. And speaking of things that I would be like, Dalton, what is the problem here with it? The streaming has been down this morning. I have done everything I can on our end and talked to our streaming provider. We're working the problem. I will be able to focus for more than 2 or 3 minutes at a time after 9 o'clock, and hopefully everything will be back up. So I appreciate it. I know a ton of folks stream the station. We're working on it. So
yeah, and then, you know what? I mean, this is a family-owned local business.
Right, so yes.
So you're part of the growth spurt.
Figuring out what the heck happened between yesterday during Bill Finch's show and everything yesterday evening and this morning. It's a forensic...
It's Monday.
It's a forensic job du jour, and I'm working on it right now.
And maybe someone didn't send out the message that October the 1st, you know, things reboot.
But it didn't. It didn't.
But that could work.
All right. I want to get to a couple stories here. And the not NAFTA, NAFTA thing. Also, what happened at Fairhope High School, this thing. But first, during the news break, you got a news alert. Now, first of all, who sends out news alerts about dead cats in New Orleans? What news
SouthernThing.com.
Okay, I just wanted to check.
Here is the headline.
Okay, here we go.
New Orleans to hold second line for cat who died after causing power outage.
Oh.
It's painful. Wait, did
the cat like gnaw through a wire or something? Did it do like in Christmas Vacation and go?
Man. Well, you know, we know Jared Boyd, AL.com. Mm-hmm. This is how it starts. It's a season of mourning in New Orleans where a local cat has died following a high voltage electrocution. The incident caused a power outage that affected electrical customers in the city.
How many folks are affected, did it say, by the...
Yes, 20,000.
20,000, because Mr. Whiskers got in the...
Organizers have banded together to send the cat off to wherever cats go when they pass on in style with the second line parade. The cat's death, which city officials say came at the hands of a piece of Entergy Corporation electric substation equipment, resulted in an outage that affected 20,000 customers in the CBD, Central City, Mid-City, and Uptown areas of New Orleans.
Okay, so Mr. Whiskers, mm-hmm. Boris the cat, gets into an Entergy, which is, you know, their power company over there, gets into a substation, starts chewing. Did it say, was it chewing on a wire?
Here's
the
quote. So not nice. Our cat lovers are going to hate you.
They're already mad at me.
Here's a quote. Sometimes, however, they are able to make their way around the protective devices, and when this happens, the animals unfortunately do not survive contact with high voltage equipment.
Unfortunately, they don't. Like, newsflash, if your cat encounters some 220, if your cat encounters three phase power, Mr. Whiskers will.
So the second line is going to be Saturday at 9 p.m. Attendees are encouraged by organizers to wear your cat costumes, bring your actual cats, and other cat-related accessories and items. And you can find out more about the event on the official Facebook event page.
For it's charcoal cat or whatever?
It's a Southern thing.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Thank you, Jared Boyd.
It is. It's a New Orleans thing, too.
That's the name of the website, though.
Yeah, and it's proven its worth right there, because it's a New Orleans thing that you would have a cat knock out power, right, to cause that issue. And then New Orleanians would go, you know what you do? Let's have a second line and celebrate the life of Mr. Whiskers before Mr. Whiskers hits some three-phase power. Wow.
I have heard it all now.
There you go. It's only in New Orleans. All right. A couple other stories to get into, but that one stood out to me this morning. Of course, today is two things happening. Of course, more on the confirmation proceedings for Brett Kavanaugh, but also Supreme Court sits. It starts, and they are now an 8-member Supreme Court divided by ideology, clouded by uncertainty, returning today for a docket of workmanlike disputes while senators battle over nominee Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation in face of sexual assault allegations. Story from the Wall Street Journal says the court's calendar features cases on endangered species and excessive fines, as well as litigation over sex offender registration that could have broad constitutional ramifications. There's also an improbable appearance for an Alaska moose hunter who is making his second trip to court. Senate Republicans had intended to confirm Judge Kavanaugh in time to provide the fifth conservative vote by the start of the term on cases that has more of an ideological majority. The court may only take modest steps if there are divisions, because think about it now. Instead of having 5-4, you'll have 4-4. Mm-hmm. Given the politics surrounding the court, it's also possible the justices will seek to cool the temperature even once its membership is full, or at least at the outset. A quote here from Justice Elena Kagan said, it's a bit of a fraught period for the court, very divided country that it serves. We should be aware of the environment and not unnecessarily exacerbate the divisions that unfortunately exist. Once again, let me take a side note here and point out that's why the legislature's in place to pass the laws. But when they don't, that all arrives in the judicial branch and at the top of it. That may be made easier, goes on in the story, that may be made easier by the relatively low profile of cases now pending. Nothing currently on tap promises to match the drama of court's last term, in which justices upheld President Trump's travel ban, weakened public sector unions, allowed sports gambling, and set new privacy protections on cell phone data. The court also tiptoed near major rulings on gay rights and partisan gerrymandering of voting maps, only to put them them off for another day. Yet hot-button cases are poised to return soon. In coming months, the courts may decide whether to consider the Trump administration's cancellation of the DACA program that provides temporary reprieve for illegal immigrants brought to the U.S. as children, as well as its ban on transgender military service. It may also weigh workplace protections for gay employees, the constitutionality of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, and a new crop of gerrymander cases. So there you go. You have a 8-member Supreme Court starting today. And so instead of saying, it's always 5-4, maybe now they'll say it's always 4-4. Let's go to go to the phones at 343-0106. And John is in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. It's really hard to follow the fried cat story, but that just proves that in New Orleans, they can
just celebrate anything. It's awesome.
They will use anything to throw a party.
Yeah, it is.
One of the things, I've got a brother that's an attorney. One of the things that we talk about, and we're both just livid, can't wait to vote against anything Democratic.
And I'm having a little trouble hearing you, John. I don't know if you're on a speaker or something.
I'm on a hands-free device.
Okay.
I sent him an article because there have been some criminal referrals coming out of the hearings because some of the people that brought the stuff brought charges up that were later withdrawn. They just basically lied. And my brother told me that, kind of ironic, because when Comey was placed as head of the FBI, he changed the protocols for what the FBI background checks looked for so they don't go as deep as they did so they could get some of Obama's judicial appointments through easier. So when the FBI report comes back on Kavanaugh later this week, watch the Democrats say, well, that's not enough information. They didn't do a thorough enough check. Well, that goes back to Obama. So,
all right, well, we'll watch for that. And you know, it was interesting, speaking of the FBI investigation, following this during the midday show late last week, to be there and be waiting and, you know, laughing because Washington time, it was supposed to be 12:30 that the subcommittee was going to take their vote to move it out to the full Senate for the vote on Kavanaugh.
Right.
It was about 12:46.
Mm-hmm. And you saw it's interesting to watch the movement.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of like...
Grassley came in, Grassley left, Flake came in, Flake came out.
And then here comes Flake in, you know, to lay down the we want an FBI investigation, which to me, that says one thing. That means there was one of their for sure votes when they called for it, got cold feet and said, I need more political cover here to make this. Let's do the FBI investigation. That's now what's going on. President talked about that. And we'll get that clip coming up in just a little bit. And also the Ipsos Reuters poll about who Americans believe in this and a theory I have about how this is being framed. Love to hear from you at 343-0106. We're coming right back. Meow. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. I said something about it earlier, but I'll circle back here looking at some more textures. Yeah, we're working on it. Stream is down. Things that are out of our control this morning, we are working. And I'm happy about so many of the stats are silly. The number of people that stream and podcast this station, and I get it. We're doing, believe me, I have sent the emails with the, you know, where you hit the send like, to the people with the National Streaming Company. I've done that this morning, so we're working on it here. As soon as we have it back up, we'll let you know on our social media platforms. Keep checking back on that. All right, 8:36, and a couple things here. Now, we're talking about two things. Number one, Supreme Court starting today with only 8 justices, and the ongoing FBI investigation and further confirmation proceedings into Brett Kavanaugh. Then that all stemming off of the audible call by Senator Flake on Friday.
And many are saying that the two women that cornered him in that elevator, sharing their very painful memories, as they say, that happened to them, and that may have impacted his thought process, as well as his friendship with his fellow Senator Coons. And the talks that they've had about the fairness of how this is all being handled. It was interesting, because when that all happened, you thought you understood what the next step was. But we're learning this process that, yes, it's an FBI investigation, but it's 7 days. And, oh, by the way, only certain people can be interviewed during this investigation. And it's limited in its scope. So,
well, it's to make sure. I think it's a couple things. I mean, yes, it does draw some questions because of that. But at the same time, if you had a full investigation, then this would push it. Now, this is a man who has cleared six FBI background checks. If you had a full investigation, this could push it past the midterms. That's a political play.
Of course it is. But the whole process, let's be real, has been rushed from day one. And that's what has been the issue for those who have been for and against it, as to thoroughly vetting this job. Because as we know, Brett Kavanaugh is very young, which means for a lifetime job like this, he's going to be in that seat for some time.
But if something had come out after he was confirmed, you could remove him. If it turned out that he was a felon or something like that, he could be removed from that seat. Now, and you say it's been rushed. It seems in the narrative, I agree, to be rushed. But if you look back at, was it midsummer when the president announced Brett Kavanaugh as his nominee for Supreme Court?
Right, but it's supposed to be so many months, weeks, for the investigation to happen, for the whole process to happen.
But it was brought up. That's the thing. It's brought up here at the political play, as you bring it up at the end to extend the...
I mean, I think both sides have fumbled the ball, quite honestly. From, you know, and I love when you can watch someone on TV, you name your favorite broadcaster, but when they say, you know what, Kavanaugh and Ford have been mishandled in this entire situation. Because, you know, she didn't even want to come forward. She did not. Somehow that was leaked, and now she was forced to protect her name. You know, and he has every right to defend himself. That is how our country is run. You can't just lob, you know, accusations and think, okay, well, now this person's out of a job. We have to allow the process to play out. But to rush it, that is not fair to anyone. And so I don't think anyone wins with a rushed investigation.
Well, you know, part of what is going on here, too, is a discussion of something that I'm not saying I'm the only person in the country, but there's not a lot of people that goes back and asks the same question. We're getting these discussions of nuanced who was in the same room. How did that make them feel? What was the timeline? Seems to be the easy thing is you have Brett Kavanaugh saying, I was not there.
Emphatically.
It seems like that should be the scope of the if you're looking at the triage list of what you investigate, forget out. There's so many side stories.
Right.
How about just investigating whether he was there or not?
Well, it would make sense. And of course, I'm not an attorney. I was raised by two attorneys and I'm married to one, but I am not. But I would just think that whatever allegations have come forth since the sixth FBI investigation has taken place, then that's the only point of this that should be focused on. If five other people want to come forward today, sorry, you missed your opportunity. But the three people who have come forward who have said things, and now I see overnight a new person, a former classmate of Kavanaugh at Yale, has come forward to talk more about in depth what he says has happened at these parties and the excessive drinking. And he says he's, quote, deeply troubled by what has been a blatant mischaracterization by Brett himself of his drinking at Yale. He said he got drunk. He was often belligerent and aggressive. On one of the last occasions, I purposely socialized with Brett. I witnessed him respond to a semi-hostile remark, not by defusing the situation, but by throwing his beer in the man's face and starting a fight that ended with one of our mutual friends in jail. Let me just give the name so for people who want to do their own research, because I know we're in that day and age where you got to do your own research. This is Charles Chad Luddington. He and Brett Kavanaugh were classmates at Yale.
And, you know, this is part of the narratives this week. It's going to be the he's a drinker narrative. You know, let those without sin cast the first stone for college story that he was drinking. And then he doubled down that he still likes beer. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
That does not make that does not make somebody a sexual predator.
Right. And
you and I agreed
that, you know, when somebody gets into an office of this magnitude, it would be very strange if they said, I've never had a sip of this and I've never done this and that. You'd look at them a little sideways. I would question. You would. But I will say this. I was watching the both sides. It was very odd how many times he said, I like beer. It was very, very strange.
Which actually bonded me more towards him. At least according to the Reuters Ipsos poll, here's what Americans are thinking. 4 in 10, according to this poll, 4 in 10 Americans believe sexual misconduct allegations against U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, while 3 in 10 do not, and the rest do not know. The poll released yesterday follows an emotionally charged week in Washington, during which Kavanaugh's once certain confirmation was jeopardized after 3 women made allegations against him, including accusations of assault and exposing himself in public in the 1980s. The poll found that 42% of adults said they believe the accusations, including about the same number of men and women. 31% do not believe them, and 27% said they don't know what to believe. You know, I like that 27%. We're trying to figure out what the truth is. The responses were divided largely along, here we go, folks, partisan lines.
No.
It's amazing how you just look at it through different lenses and you see different things.
Yep.
About 2/3 of Democrats said they believed the allegations, and nearly 2/3 of Republicans said they did not. One of the women accusing Kavanaugh of misconduct, Christine Blasey Ford, told the Senate Judiciary Committee last week that they were teenagers in 1982. Kavanaugh and a friend pushed her into a room and that he held her down and tried to take off her clothes. Ford said she feared she would be raped and accidentally killed. A recent YouGov poll found the country was split over the testimony that Kavanaugh and Ford presented to the panel. 41% said they believe Ford, 35% said they believe Kavanaugh. Reuters Ipsos poll, which was conducted after the allegations were publicized, also found 41% of adults opposed Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court. That was up about 5 percentage points from a similar poll conducted September 18th through 24th, so it's trending bad for Kavanaugh. When it came to the allegations of sexual misconduct, the poll found that Americans who were younger, more educated, and single were more likely to believe the allegations than those who were older, less educated, and married. The poll was conducted online in English, all right, from September 26th through 30th throughout the U.S. It gathered responses from 2,478 American adults, including 983 who identify as Democrats and 818 who identify as Republicans. Hey, Reuters Ipsos, going into this, you've already said that it's breaking down partisan lines, but you have 983 Democrats and 818 Republicans in your poll.
That's not equal.
Yeah, it says it has a credibility interval, a measure of precision of 2 percentage points. Of course, that's the last sentence in the story, right, that they'll put out there.
But it's interesting to note that the National Sexual Assault Hotline says that they saw a 147% increase in calls during last week's Senate hearing. So being in this business, I channel surf, okay? So because people always say, which one do you watch?
Mm-hmm.
I watch them all. Ask my husband, because I am a news junkie, and he just has to leave and go in somewhere else to watch something more interesting. But I mean, I'm into the Fox News, the NBC, the CBS, the CNN, PBS, NPR. I mean, all of that, you have to be able to decipher. You have to go to trusted sources, and you also have to hear what the other side is, whatever the other side is. But one theme that I found is that many people agreed that they believe that Dr. Ford was assaulted. They wholeheartedly believe, but they don't believe necessarily that it was Kavanaugh at the end of that assault, and that's where they're having the problem.
And that's, you know, that's a nuance that's important but not asked in this poll. You know what I'm saying?
But I do want to say this weekend I was watching when Kellyanne Conway admitted that she was a sexual assault victim.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sobering moment, because no matter what you think of her, because she's hardcore. I mean, she's a she's a professional woman, and she sometimes rubs people the wrong way. And what was her famous, how did she call lies? What was the word she used when she said, what type of facts? Oh, it'll come to me. But the point is at that very moment, that was a raw moment. This woman's a mother, and she's a wife, and she has gone on record to admit that she, too, understands what it's like and what she was saying. And I can totally agree with it, is we need to make sure that we're mad at the person who may have done this to you personally, and then yes, you want change to happen, but you got to be careful wielding that sword and swiping at such a broad...
Right, any male out there.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say, too, on that Yahoo story, I'm going to put this up so y'all can see...
Alternative facts, that's what
alternative
she said.
Alternative facts, there you go.
Thank
I'm going to put
you.
The picture up so you can see the two pictures you can see over here on my screen. Kelly, they selected a very angry grimace from Kavanaugh and a smile from Dr. Ford in that story. This gets into my theory that once again, I am like the 27% in the poll that is still trying to figure out what is truth in this. Where is the truth? But what I do see that I can be sure of is part of this is framing beyond just framing Kavanaugh as the predator here, sexual assault predator. They're trying to overlay him with a bigger cloak, and that is the cloak of he is, for lack of a better way to describe this quickly, he is the antagonist in every 80s movie about high school. He is the Chet. He is the Biff. He is that guy. And everything that would go with that is what they're... He is frat party guy. And therefore, every bad thing that frat party guy has ever done out there must be the same
must
for
follow
Brett,
him with...
Must be the same for Brett Kavanaugh. See if you don't believe that narrative is existing out there.
But the focus really should be on a judge who's supposed to be nonpartisan. That should be the focus right there.
All right. Let's
stay focused on that.
We'll get your calls when we get back at 343-0106. All right, 853 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Glad to have you here. We'll keep you up to date on this story, of course, throughout the week and on this show and on the midday show, which, by the way, starts at noon on each weekday. All right. Let's see. I tell you, we'll grab those texts in a second, but I want to go to the phones first. Is it Basil or is it
Basil?
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah, not Earl.
Okay, yeah. Well, I just know that when I hear that name before, I've heard Basil, like Basil Expedition. But you're Basil, like okay,
yeah.
Cool. What's up, Basil?
Like the spice, you know.
Okay,
spice.
There you go. Okay,
you
cool.
Know, not Basil Rathbone, the actor.
Okay, so...
That's what usually most people refer it to.
Okay, well, now I know. Basil, what's up?
Look, I've got a question here for you, co-host.
I'm listening.
Am I getting this right?
Yes.
You believe that this 7-day investigation is not long enough?
That is correct.
Okay, all right. So you don't believe that the Democrats had this plan, that this is nothing but a partisan Democrat-liberal side to challenge anything that President Trump is doing?
My thoughts on it not being long enough have nothing to do with how either party has reacted or acted thus far.
Well, why didn't they do that to Neil Gorsuch? Why didn't they come up with something like this with Neil Gorsuch?
You'll have to ask whoever they are. But I'm saying, hold on a second. You asked a question, Mr. Basil. You asked a question.
Look, you'll have plenty to say when I get out.
Oh, I don't know. Wrong. Oh, no.
Hey, hold on. So
no,
I'm a referee.
No,
okay,
no.
I'm a referee here.
I'll have
referee.
Plenty to say when we
so,
get off.
So, Kelly.
You asked a question. You asked a question. You asked a question.
Basil, man, this doesn't help. This doesn't.
Look, I'm 50-something years old. I've been listening to talk radio in Mobile for a very long
excellent.
Time.
Excellent. Okay, so you asked a question.
You asked. I did listen for a few minutes.
Okay,
ago.
You asked a question.
Okay, this is wait. Everybody. This does no good because nobody can follow y'all's thoughts. Basil, hold on a second.
Thank you.
And then Basil, we're going back to Basil because we're going to run out of time. So go ahead.
You asked a question, and my thoughts on it being not long enough is for the other six investigations, how long did those take? Okay. Some major developments have happened in this nomination process. And as I was telling Sean during the break, we the people deserve to know what is going on. Brett Kavanaugh says he is not guilty. And you know what? We must believe him. But if an investigation needs to happen, we need to fully vet all of the information that has come forth from the last investigation up until now. He owes it to the people because we are the ones who pay for these people to be in office, especially a lifetime appointment.
Okay, so Basil, go ahead. Basil, go ahead. It's you now. Dang it. Okay, I want to take a pic. I left the line open. Just trying to, I mean, when everybody talks over each other, it doesn't accomplish anything. You can talk back and forth. Basil, are you there? We have Basil. Okay. I mean, I don't hear the dial tone, so I mean, I'm Okay. So maybe he calls in on another line. You can put him through on another line if he wants to, but we are going to end up running out of time before somebody accuses me of not giving somebody equal time. Now, I could take up the position, I think, of disagreeing here. You and I, during the break, I said, this thing reeks of political timing. Okay?
Absolutely.
And you're talking about making it a full investigation. Well, the full investigation, conveniently enough, goes over the period of time where the Democrats make it take control and be able to block a confirmation, right?
Correct.
Okay. So that's what I think people are hearing, people are seeing here and going, hey, this is partisan, you know, and that's where you're getting that reaction.
Both sides stink, quite honestly, of how this has been handled. Let's just be real. But now that we're at this point, if these people have been assaulted and they've been victims, then they deserve to have the legal system do what it's supposed to do. And if an investigation is going to be done, it's going to be thorough, then having it in 7 days and saying you can only look at this person but not this person, this entity but not that entity, that is not a full investigation. So those 7 days will not be used appropriately. So quite honestly, no one is going to be made happy. Even if Mr. Kavanaugh is appointed, okay, he will always have that around him, that cloud around him of maybe he was guilty, but we didn't fully vet it out. That's not fair to him. He deserves to protect his name and fight for his name. He has emphatically said he has not done this, so why not allow a full investigation?
That's, well, and because of timing. That's and Terry, I agree with you. Terry, that's the other side of it. They're trying to make this more about he's a drinker, he's a partier, and Terry says, I'm sorry, but being a party animal in college does not translate into an unhealthy life later, does it, Sean? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't, Terry. And that's the question, you know. Just let's see what they come up with today, and we'll talk about this more on the Midday Show coming up at noon today. See you in the morning, 6 o'clock for Mobile Mornings.
That's a deal.
Laura Ingram on the way next.